Okay.
And just pound them. These are nice. Why would you just
podcast and juice
destroy these?
What's up? Oh, I've been nursing that one for a bit. You know, it's about time to move on to the Big Brother, the right. Sinful Apple, Angry Orchard seasonal flavor, Sinful Apple.
I was gonna say, is that seasonal? Because it's got cinnamon, then it's probably
cinnamon
holiday themed.
Yeah, this is for when you get turnt with your cousins, your little 14-year-old cousins.
Oh, no.
Easy for your 8-year-old little kid cousin to drink.
Yeah,
got cinnamon. They love it.
Yeah.
You put it in the apple, the applesauce, and they go to sleep. It's nice.
Beer. Put a little like an ounce of beer in the applesauce, and they just pass out.
Well, because you have to up
it's
the game.
It's not whiskey.
You got to up the game. It's like with a baby pacifier. You dip it in whiskey to placate them.
Well, yeah.
But then you just keep stepping it up. By the time they're 14, you're putting Everclear in their oatmeal.
Oh no!
You know what I mean? Just so they shut the fuck up for a bit.
And they think everything tastes like shit. And then they go out to eat once. And they're like, what? Well, what the fuck?
That's where you got to sneak. You slip a 10 under the table to the waiter. So
follow him around. Just keeping your kid wasted. Like,
it's way better this way.
Oh, when you die, they just start withdrawing. Sad.
What's wrong with me? My stomach's in. I got cramps. I'm sweating. And it's not because my dad's dead.
No. I can't deal with this light. It's like, so we're in a dark room, and we have two like dim ceiling roof lights, but then we've got like a little Pixar guy on the corner of the table just shining directly in my face.
That's your key. That's your key light. This is your Phil. And also backlight.
Where's the best boy?
The best boy? I'm always the best boy.
Ah.
Number one. Welcome to the Twilight fan cast. Twilight and Transformers fan cast.
Oh,
we got the hot opinions on the final two. You've been waiting for 5 years for our opinions on Twilight Breaking Dawn parts 1 and 2.
I can't give them out yet. I haven't watched the first three movies.
You don't need to. What?
I don't know if that's...
Oh, this is... Look, we'll get to that later. Right in the here and the now. We just need to give quick opinions on Breaking Dawn. By the way, Breaking Dawn Part 1, it's not that bad.
What?
Hold on. The part where they're...
It's a zero!
It's a two. So the part where they're on the beach and they're just kicking it, having a good time on vacation, I'm like, wow.
Was that in Part 1?
That's Part 1.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because it's right when they get married. Because the entire first movie is them getting married and the entire second movie is her being pregnant and having a kid.
All right. No, she gets. You know, she's pregnant at the end of. She has the baby at the end of the first one.
Yeah. And then the second movie is her having the kid. They got the kid now, and then it's about the shift.
Okay.
It's about the shift in. I can understand how that'd be misleading, but the poor choice of words, perhaps. But then the second one's vampire politics, but not really. It's like the loosest politics of like you can't. Your love is forbidden. Still,
They spend the whole movie in this woods house, and I was like getting hot and dizzy just from being in this one place. I did not.
Claustrophobic.
Or just like a boredom that is so intense that I just start to kind of enter some kind of.
Trance state?
Just euphoric bliss.
And then when the heads start getting ripped off.
It was very unpleasant.
The heads start getting ripped off, and that's when it's. Then you're
and then that was a funny 5 minutes.
It's great.
We were at Matt's house, and he has a cool place with the TV, but it's got TV on the TV instead of
cool things.
Yeah, like television.
You have to search. You can't, things don't come to you the way that things come to you when you're on the internet. Everything's, you're catered to on the internet, but on television, you have to dig. And we dug, and we found the best things on television for us to watch were Twilight and Transformers. So take that as you will. Fuck television forever, basically. Also a bit of Roadhouse.
A little bit of Roadhouse. Roadhouse is kind of boring, actually. It's just kind of romance, bar fight, romance, bar fight.
My life.
Repeat for forever.
I get enough of that in the day-to-day.
Sam
Elliott's there.
Every time Twilight would go to a commercial break on a really dramatic moment, they would play a commercial for the Jersey Shore sequel. So we would go from like really, really intense vampire drama to a dude on the screen shaking his hands around going, "Turn it up!
Let's get lit!" so somebody gets their head ripped off and lit on fire and immediately cuts to that.
Turn up! Yeah. That, so,
I think it was, like, hold on, I think it was, "Turn up!"
Yeah, it was probably, yeah, that's probably it. So, yeah, the chaotic state of television really is what provides the entertainment. Yeah. The actual content is just
make your own
the,
fun.
The base.
You have to make your own fun when you're watching television.
It's like playing Shadow Puppets without electricity. Without internet, you gotta fucking watch.
You gotta get your riff game movies on too. If your riff game's not strong, you're not gonna last a second watching television.
Those movies fucking suck, by the way. I know it's a meme, but those movies are unbelievably bad.
The baby,
way I describe it, it's gonna sound like I'm exaggerating. You cannot exaggerate how I would 100 times prefer just the doll baby from American Sniper. Like, I don't care if that's fake. You don't have, like, at least...
It's a movie.
Don't hide it. Yeah, no, it's a movie. It's a play. Whatever. Just don't have a real baby. Fine. It's shaped like a baby. Yeah. When you're doing close-ups of his face and it's like a JPEG sort of blurred onto a crash test dummy.
It's an Uncanny Valley nightmare.
It doesn't even reach the Uncanny Valley because it looks nothing like human. It's like you took a bunch of magazine clippings of facial features and plastered them onto a tiny vamp.
It's like a PlayStation 2 character, kind of like Oblivion looking thing.
Ugh.
Yeah, that shit's rough. And then the baby grows up and is a kid. And then it's truly Uncanny Valley of, is this a real person? Because there was a real actress that is in the role.
Yeah, they had to make her CG until she was full grown.
Yeah.
And so it was hard to tell when it actually ended.
Did you see the thing about the about Superman's upper lip?
Everyone's talking about Superman's fucking weird-ass mouth. I've seen screenshots where I don't know what this thing above your upper lip is called. This cleft is like clipping through his nose, and it's all fucked up. It's all wrong. Mm-hmm. Oh man, it's great.
You figure they would be able to fix that with the fucking shit zillion dollars they put into it.
I mean,
but then again, there's a GoPro shadow in Transformers, so everything's.
Hey, I didn't notice. I didn't notice.
Steven's seen Eagle Eye.
GoPro shadow. Yeah, that was Transformers 4.
Age
of Extinction, yes, and that also sucked.
I thought the China baiting might have been overblown, and then we saw it, and the entire second half of the movie's in China.
I like how you have seen all these movies, but then you're watching it like for the first time, because really you were just so plastered the first
how
time.
It took me 5 attempts to watch it the first time. I would stop because it took me.
Why even spend your time? Like, what were you up to in your life?
It's a masochist thing.
Yeah, I guess. I feel it. What am I saying? I've seen fucking 400 animes.
If it's something that brings me erotic pleasure, it's like Transformers 4 is right above getting my balls stomped.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
But it took me like 3 attempts to get out of Texas the first time I watched it, because that's the corn. The cheese is just off the charts, and it's so Americana and saturated, and like,
ooh,
he's a good old boy.
Except he has like the weird Boston accent.
My daughter, what? This isn't junk. This ain't junk.
My inventions are gonna make us a lot of money. I'm an inventor.
T.J. Miller. T.J. Miller gets fucking destroyed.
Oh my god. Top 10 cinema deaths of all time.
Top 10 cinema betrayals.
T.J. Miller. T.J. Miller sucks. He's also bad in this movie. And he has the weirdest, most fetishistic death I've ever seen in a film. Like a death like a villain for 3 films deserves. Where it's like, he gets exploded, but he doesn't blow apart. He turns into an ashy skeleton thing, standing straight up. And they just like have 8 shots hovering around him, panning over his fucking desiccated body.
He gets the Luke Skywalker treatment, where they're like, they're panning around him, and it's like a little bit shaky. And
ridiculous.
He must have been horrible to work with, I guess. That's not an endorsement. It's by any stretch. He Yeah, he's good in Cloverfield. I'll give him that. He's really good behind the camera.
Oh my God, he is in Cloverfield, isn't
he? He's Hud.
Oh my shit, I totally forgot.
I like Cloverfield more than people do, so I...
So do I.
So, it's a good movie.
I like Cloverfield a lot.
It's a good movie.
Yeah,
Yuppies, no, it really is. It's amazing because, like, I don't know why it's so compelling to watch these yuppies going around New York City, and it's just really well done. Anyways,
yeah,
so Twilight and Transformers.
Back to Twilight.
Yes.
I just need to get all this out since I'm never going to watch any of these again. Okay. The brown boy wants to fuck a baby, and that's normal for girls to read, I guess. That's just fine.
He imprinted Declan.
Fuck you. Tell it to the judge, Taylor. Taylor Lot. Wait. No.
That's Taylor Lautner. That
okay,
is the one.
Lautner. Not
Taylor Kitsch is
oh, no, right. That's your friend.
That's my friend Taylor Kitsch. You're a thief, Taylor. You're a
he
thief.
He returned it. He forgot. Honest mistake.
I see Taylor Kitsch once a month now.
Nice.
That's it. It's the long and the short of it.
Ask him out.
Yeah, he's a cutie patootie. He's a little bit dopey. I think he might be stoned all the time.
He's in Austin.
He looks like he's gonna be really good in that Waco movie though. There are women and children here. And
that's a TV movie,
6-part miniseries, please.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
God damn you! That's where the television is where all the good characters went, man.
That could
David
be true.
David Fincher told me so.
What happens in Twilight? Yeah, they have
their heads ripped off.
It's a very silly montage, and then that turns out not to be fake. Or not to be real. And he destroys a bedroom fucking. And, oh, and she's really, really dead at the end of that first movie. And by first, I mean fourth or whatever.
She looks like I don't use the term Holocaust victim lately, even though I do. But she is emaciated.
Oh,
like,
yeah, she's all the way down there.
She looks like she would be the third or fourth skinniest person at Fashion Week. It's, like, pretty bad. Pretty bad. Rail thin.
And don't buy the new seasonal Mountain Dew. It's just like half Code Red.
Fuck! I wish I had read the label before. It's half Code Red and half Mountain Dew. That's not a seasonal brew. That's fucking... That's just Mountain Dew. All Mountain Dew tastes like Code Red.
That's not a special formula.
Fuck.
I didn't even finish that.
I drank like half of it, which I had mixed with vodka. And then I'm looking at the second half of the bottle. And like, I bought it and I chugged it. You know, like,
yeah,
you
gotta, no, you gotta...
Yeah, come on.
Get those resources.
Of course. Need that little extra pep to get through the second Twilight movie. Damn, what a trashy night we had.
It was fucking dumb. It was good.
A good time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the honeymoon's over, baby. Twilight. The honeymoon's over. There's the and then she has the baby, and she's she bleeds. Is that because she got all blood sucked out of her? What's the deal there?
What happened?
And where she's super emaciated at the end of the first film.
She died.
Okay, and then he bites her and brings her back to life as a vamp.
Yeah.
And then the entire opening sequence of the second film is like roses getting frozen and shit because like, wow, she's a vampire now.
Yeah.
Steep.
It's symbolic.
And then the entire second movie's fucking fuck awful. Like,
it's just a bunch of people
really
talking
horrible.
In the woods.
And
then there's a guy, there's a young Nick Cage, holds a guy up and kills him.
I think the best, which is, again, that's supposed to be our friend, by the way. He's a good guy, and yet he murders somebody in the street for...
He's gotta eat, baby. He's a vamp.
But, I think the secret best part of that entire movie is the sequence where Taylor Lautner imprints on this baby, and then the misunderstanding that ensues from there of like, she's a baby! And he's like, whoa, I can't control it, man.
The weirdest part for me was when he nicknames the baby Nessie, and then she finds out, and she goes, she's just found out this dude's gonna fuck her baby, but then she immediately merely takes a hard left turn to, you nicknamed her after the Loch Ness Monster?
She's going for the gusto on that like, that part.
Why is why is that even a point of, why does that matter at all?
She's going for the Oscar in that sequence. It's really, really wonderful.
Why do you say the whole Loch Ness Monster? Ah!
Yeah.
Why? What was the really funny part where they kept zooming in?
Oh,
was that when she was dying?
Yeah.
God, that was
they did
fucking...
a little tiny zoom in her fucking dead face.
No, they just kept cut. It was just like, just different angles of her fucking dead ass face. Yeah. It was
there was
fucking
one
god
particular
awful.
Zoom in that got everybody immediately.
Oh my god, it was so good.
Yeah, and then it's really boring for a pretty long time.
She talks to her dad, and she talks to
what
some
happens
more
with the dad?
Who cares?
And then
turn up,
turn up,
turn up.
Florabama Shore
don't
gives me
plug,
life.
Don't plug Florabama Shore.
Pour one out.
It's, I don't even know if it's aired yet.
I mean, it can never capture the genius of the original Jersey Shore.
They never do.
They're
same
doomed
with,
for success.
Same with Love, Live, Sunshine. You know, it just doesn't quite get
it's
there.
It's the exact same
not
thing.
Not as memorable.
Tom Apple!
Yeah.
What happens? Then there's a vampire fight over whether or not this baby can live. And then, but the vampire fight ends up being a vision sequence caused by the sexy pixie lady.
Yeah.
And then the movie ends with nobody dying. Except for one girl who gets her head ripped off in pretty hilarious fashion.
Yeah.
Which that was, I'm pretty sure that was the one who died. And then it cut to turn up. I'm pretty sure it was
nice.
this girl. The first time it happens in the film, it cuts to turn up. So it's like, she's like, I'm sorry, Bella. And then the fucking lead evil vampire rips her head off. And then they torch her. And then, turn up!
Oh, yeah. It was good stuff. I forgot what I was going to say. I don't know.
Bad movies. You know what's not bad?
Really, really just bad. You know what's, yeah, you know what's also like fucking a 10 years old, but the opposite of bad.
As relevant as ever.
Yes.
It's never too long. It's officially too late to jump on the Twilight-hating bandwagon. It's not too late to jump on the Index-loving bandwagon.
It could be, but we wouldn't know. We're insulated.
We'll let about outside the loop.
I just started it.
I've become cognizant of S4S memes. So do you know
sure.
Do you know Spike Man?
No.
Do you know Yosho?
No. Wow, that place is really just a black box, isn't it?
It's fucking crazy. There's a huge,
just a weird little what like a tide pool.
There's a yeah. All sorts of life is being birthed there.
Yeah.
But the
fucking petri dish.
There's an ongoing war between Yosho and Spike Man. Hold on.
Sounds fun.
Yosho is like the baby Yoshi from Super Mario World. You know when he's like a little nugget baby?
Sure.
That's Yosho. I'm going to find this.
There's a lot of Spike Man. Is he the Mega Man boss?
This is... Okay. So this is Spike Man. He's the green little monster guy. Is Spike Man?
He just looks like a Pokemon.
And then... LOL is LOLE, by the way. And then you've got Yosho in there. They're the yin and the yang of Yosho and Spike Man.
Nice.
and I fucking... It's...
There's an S4S wiki. Spike Man. What is this? This is just from a Game Boy game or something.
I don't know! It's gotta be like Final Fantasy or something. Or like DQ.
Chrono Trigger.
All that bullshit.
Lavos Spawn.
Spike Man. He's Spike Man and Yosho.
It appears in Death Peak in 2300 AD. Yeah, I don't know, it's just a Chrono Trigger boss or something.
That's a part of their culture. I follow 4chan meme pages on Facebook.
And
there's one that's...
That sounds like the worst thing ever.
This one's called a 4chan meme page that actually posts things from 4chan, and it's always like S4S memes. So I'm only tangentially aware of Yosho and Spike Man, but I'm happy whenever I see them.
Brighten your day.
Yep, that's it. That's Spike Man, baby.
Yep.
Anyways.
What brought this up?
I just thought about it.
Just think about Spike Man.
Think about 4chan. Well, because we're insulated. We don't talk. We don't really know what's the zeitgeist is like on current anime. I guess you do.
I don't know if there is one, just because no one's competent enough to create one. There's no ruling class. It's just a fucking
nothing but plebeians.
It's a wasteland. So that's why we're slowly building an empire. Very slowly.
Disdain.
But it's happening.
So
that's why we got to fester a love for index.
Yeah.
Index. Uh-huh. A certain magical index.
Love in a dangerous index.
Mm.
So we got index. We watched the first 12 episodes of it. Which isn't really...
I should have had you watch the first 14.
That doesn't really end the arc.
After I texted you that, I figured out the arc actually ends at episode 14. Oh, well.
We'll be okay.
Yeah. We're going to get to all of it, baby, so it doesn't matter.
Let's talk about Index, baby.
Musical cue. I don't have any music. Sorry. So the third season of A Certain Magical Index got announced, I think, unless the Twitter translators are lying to me or the internet's lying to me, which has happened before. Remember when you texted me at like 9 a.m. once?
Fuck.
Because you thought, I'm going to bring it up every time. I'm going to bring it up every month. It's got to come up at least once a month because you found a thread with like three posts that said Haruhi season
3 is happening. I thought it was on the hottest, newest hotness. I thought it was there. I thought it was there at ground zero with the new Haruhi. Not that it matters, because what the fuck do you even go from there? I guess you just adapt more with the light novel. But anyways, so yeah, Index.
Third season of Index after... Season 1, 2008, Season 2, 2010, and two seasons of Railgun. They're finally doing... I don't know how much of Index they're adapting, but there's going to be at least a third season, which is going to be, I assume, 2-core. People are very excited. I'm excited.
Oh, this is going to be a really noisy episode. Okay, go on.
Yeah, because the metal table, not great for this.
No.
I remember liking Index a whole... Not a whole lot, but I remember liking it, so I wanted to... refresh. I wanted you to experience it. I wanted to introduce you. And I wanted to just soak myself in it and become reacquainted with all my best buddies in Academy City. And that's why we're doing this now. So we're going to do 12 at a time, roughly, until all two seasons are done. So it's going to be a four-parter. And then also, we're going to do season 3.
Are we going to do Railgun?
You don't. I mean, you can watch it if you want to.
Is Railgun like happening in the same time? Is it?
I forget what happens in I forget what happens in the first season of Railgun. The second season of Railgun is the first half, or I don't know, a chunk of it. I think it's like the first 8 episodes are just an arc from Index, but from Misaka's perspective.
Gotcha.
And the rest of it was original, which was pretty bad. The first season of Railgun is probably a bit better.
But I know Railgun from is that it has a really awesome OP. I love Only My Railgun. It's a hot track.
What's the our Spark? What's the
All Spark? Are you talking about the All Spark from Transformers?
Yeah, no, I got Transformers on the mind. What's the band?
I'm also holding my microphone now because it's going to reduce the amount of noise we're hearing, and it's. It's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. So,
Fripside.
Oh yes,
Fripside. That's their one memorable song. The reason people are excited about season 3 is because apparently, allegedly, it's the first time that the really good stuff from a light novel or manga or whatever, like the really like series, hit its stride. That they're going to get to the juicy stuff. Including, I'm just going to spoil it because I don't care. It's the World War III arc is going to be happening. The World War III is sold. Between some alliances, one of which is the Roman Catholic Church plus the Russian Orthodox Church plus Russia plus France plus Italy and the UK.
Okay. Far.
No, just Italy.
Yeah, versus, UK didn't fit in there.
Versus the UK, China, India, the Anglican Church, and Academy City.
What?
And someone fights the Pope or something, which is the most buck wild shit I've ever heard in my life. I'm psyched. It's very Metal Gear Solid in that it's a depiction of like a Western political conflict filtered through a crazy Japanese man who
they have no idea what the fuck's going on. They're just making shit up.
He has to make it exciting. And he also understands none of it whatsoever.
Why are these alliances happening?
It's a great formula. Who was this? Kazuma Kamachi is the author.
The entire time, I was thinking Samurai Flamenco. I was thinking Sam Flam the entire first 12 episodes. Because there's like clear dividing lines in Sam Flam. There's like
between the arcs, sure.
yeah. But like those arcs, the shift is huge.
Yeah,
they're all. I'll explain my thesis later, but I'm
not seeing the connection here. Be honest with you.
Well, there's a. It'll make sense. It'll make sense.
I don't know if it will.
It'll make sense.
It's a very different series. Sam Flam is like a parody escapade.
Yes, it was.
This is not that. I
know. I'll explain.
When are you gonna explain?
When we get to the point where we finish the first arc.
All right.
the Toma meeting index arc.
You're gonna do it this episode. I thought you were like, I'm gonna do it in a year.
Yeah, I'm gonna weave my intertextual like fucking Sam Flam grand mythology into this. No, it's I'm gonna you have to wait to watch out for my video essay on how this is ripping off Sam Flam 5 years before it came out.
Oh yeah, you need a his YouTube video.
I need some lo-fi hip hop beats. It's like, okay. I bet you're wondering how
minimalistic graphic transitions. Yeah. This author also did Heavy Object and Railgun, the good parts, I guess. The manga, probably. And Heavy Object is also exactly like this, and then it's great. The one thing I hope is that when the third season airs, it just doesn't die off. Because whenever people are very excited about something that they like getting adapted, sometimes they just forget about it.
Twin Peaks season 3.
Because it's just kind of by the numbers. But I hope not.
Except Twin Peaks season 3 was batshit.
I hope it's hype.
It'll probably be hype. Or it'll be bad.
Oh, please. Man.
Okay, we gotta actually discuss the show. Really? Sorry.
Betting the horse.
Here. Putting the horse before the wagon?
No. We're betting the farm.
Betting the farm?
Yes, sure.
Buying the farm? Oh,
no,
I hope not.
You don't buy the farm. No.
I don't plan to anytime soon.
Yes, we watched Index. What'd you think?
It's fucking weird. It's a strange show. There's very little. There's a lot of exposition about the world, but there's very little world building, if that makes sense.
So far,
I feel like I've just been dropped into this ocean, and I don't really see anything around me. Like, I see, like, a couple objects who are, like, characters, and, like, there's a whole lot more going on here that I don't have any frame of reference for at all.
It's an Academy City.
What the fuck does that mean? They keep saying that.
He explains it.
Yeah, but, like...
It's full of schools.
It's full of espers, but that is... All that has only manifested itself in him fighting fucking Misaka... And fucking and then there's Index, and Index is like the main character for a bit. Now
Index
she's gone.
Even an expert.
And now she's gone. She's just not there for like six episodes. She's literally in a bath during like the most pivotal moment of this curve of the arc we just finished. It's really good, but it's also really stupid. Because the main character's power is anti-cool. His power is that he's...
But that's what makes it so cool.
Yes, I know, and that's why it works really well.
He's the Toe Man.
He's great. Toma's too perfect for this world. But there's also... The main character changes at episode 6 of the show.
That's the weirdest...
It's so strange!
That's the weirdest... That's the most fucking wild shit about this show.
He's a different person.
Yeah, like let's establish. Okay, so yeah,
what
that
the
was
fuck, man.
That's probably what stuck with me most with about this show after years is like, at episode 6 they do a really arbitrary and almost totally pointless memory wipe on the main character.
But it works.
That's like that. Like, it's just kind of an inconvenience for a while. It doesn't do much.
It just changes personality slightly.
You think
he's a bit more astute after the fact, because his entire life is basically just... So he had a life before he met Index, you know what I mean? He was like a fucking bum-ass high school kid who was just a slacker. But he had a good heart, he helped Index out. And then when his memory gets wiped, his entire world becomes this new paradigm of, like, he's met Index, and he's now wrapped up in this, like, global religious conspiracy. And he's becomes better at figuring out what's going on, and like Style makes note of this when he's talking to him, and he's like, "You're fucking way smarter than you were like a couple days ago."
After getting his brain destroyed, he's way smarter.
Yeah, because he's like more tuned in, because the previous Toma had other things he was worried about, but this current Toma literally only his world is only this now, really, The character shift at episode 6 is so... I didn't understand what was happening for a bit. But then he's explaining it, and I'm like, wait, what the fuck? Like, what is going on?
What I remember is just, like, he's basically the same, except every couple episodes he was like, by the way, I don't remember what the fuck's going on. But he just kind of doesn't... He keeps the catchphrase. How does he remember that one?
Fakoda.
He keeps Fakoda. He still worries about... He still... Got to get to that convenience store to get the cheap eggs or whatever.
Some things are a date, man.
I guess, yes.
The man understands his poor luck, and the man needs his eggs.
It's got, like, it's magic and science, which is also magic in the show. But it gets really realistic at very bizarre, arbitrary moments. Like when, like, everything's magic, and then at one point he realizes, like, hey, wait a second, you can't run out of brain space. And then that's just a moment of, that's just a realism that they just kind of put insert into it. As a plot point. It's very strange.
And they'll call that shit out. Like in the second arc that we watched with this, or I guess I don't know if it's the second arc, but the cram school arc where there's a cram school cult, which is really great. Style puts it together. He's like, why the fuck do you need to do this crazy elaborate plan when you could make this happen? And like, they just kind of basically point out plot holes
once in a while, but then there's lots of plot holes that they don't point out.
It's great. It's a ride.
It's very, yeah, it's, I remember this show being sort of like likable generic, but it's actually just kind of good. Like it's paced pretty well.
It's stupid when it wants to be, and it's also intelligent when it wants to be, if that makes sense, in that, like, there are high concept things going on, like, just in terms of, like, the politics and, like, the nature of the world and everything, but then also it's just really, really dumb, and, like, characters will do stupid things, and they'll be really irrational. And it all works for some reason. It's fantastic. It's good television, frankly.
Yep.
It's really, really fucking strange. I can't wait to watch a whole shitload of this to talk about it. I wonder if we'll see a regression, or like, no, you think it's got it?
I don't know.
But we're only like halfway. This weird, like, fucking speed bump of the mind wipe is so recent in my mind. Like, I wonder if I'll be able to put that in the back of my mind as we go forward. For that'll always be lingering. Like, what did he lose? Like, what is this?
It's weird.
What does it amount to?
Yeah, not much.
Except he's a little bit more astute.
Maybe.
Maybe
his very first line in the show is Fukuda.
Yeah. What misfortune.
When I restarted this, I was worried that I was like, wait, did I forget some kind of Max Payne-esque neo-noir narration from Toma? Because he walks into this restaurant and he goes, I ordered a bitter melon and escargot lasagna from hell. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? What does that even mean? Are these subs garbage? I mean, yes, they are.
They're horrid.
They're very... 2008 subs, baby.
I literally...
Thanks, Eclipse.
I literally switched to the dub. I couldn't fucking take it. Because, like, there was a point where I spent more time trying to figure out what they were saying than actually, like, watching the show. And I'm like, I can't fucking take this
anymore. There are some lines that are totally...
it's gobbledygook, man.
Just in conceit, in something. Can't tell what they're saying.
You can put it together, but it's like a very abstract way of saying what they want to say. it's like, this is like overly overwrought at a certain point, the way that it's written. Yeah,
not by native English speakers.
Yeah. It's not common tongue, man. So I do, the dub is imperfect, but it's not obnoxious, and I can understand what the characters are saying. That's the most important thing to me. I do miss the Fukuda.
Yeah, does he say such misfortune?
What rotten luck? No.
Oh, he doesn't. Okay.
I don't even remember, because it doesn't have as much character as Fukuda.
It like 10 times in the first 3 episodes.
I started watching the dub at like episode like 5 or 6, because I switched subs, because I downloaded multiple subs, and I'm like, well, because I watched the first few episodes, like, these are really like intolerably bad. I want to try another subgroup, and I tried another subgroup, and that was bad too. So I'm like, dub, you know.
Yeah, I think there's only one set of subs for this show. I think if another group is just going to be adopting from the same group,
it's
Eclipse.
Very poor.
It's very bad,
but it's worth sitting through. Obviously,
you can mostly tell what's going on.
I kind of enjoy this as a dub. Because it's got that shonen-ness to it.
It feels like... Because this is basically the culmination of what we learned in the 2000s in anime,
yeah.
It feels right to watch it dubbed, because it's just something you would watch it's on Toonami as a kid. Yeah, I mean, yeah, on Toonami, or just like, yeah, find it on the internet, and because it's just like a very popular, very kind of just thing.
Misaka's angst doesn't come across super great in the dub.
I forgot they made, like, she's like a punk at first. Like, she's supposed to be cool.
Yeah.
Because I've seen Railgun, so I just think of her as a dork all the time.
Yeah.
But they make her like intimidating. It's all right. Yeah. But then by the end of fucking episode one, he's got her tamed. The fucking Toe Man has totally got her under his thumb. It's amazing.
He's the man.
Oh, he's so good. He doesn't give a shit about the fucking level five. Oh, he's the best.
Toma's an amazing underdog, but he's an underdog who has the best power. You know what I mean?
Every light novel has, like, it's just always, it's like Persona, it's like, you're zero, you're special, but like, this is actually cool. I don't know why, I can't explain why. Bitchin'. The sound it makes?
Well, it's the fact that it's in his fist so he can punch people, and then it happens, you know what I mean?
Yes, like, that also, and it makes the big piercing noise, and it's great. He just fucking punches
people. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. And the fight scenes in this are excellent. It's because like, anytime he's fighting Misaka and the lightning's going everywhere and there's awesome lighting effects happening, and it's really intense. But then the battle against are we operating on the assumption at this point that everybody's seen it? Because typically we do really extensive recaps, but in this instance, it's so, you know, ubiquitous.
Whatever.
Who cares?
Not important.
You've seen it. You've probably seen it.
If you haven't, you can guess what's going on.
Fucking go watch it. But when he's fighting the cram school, when he teams up with Staiu, which is lit, because I love it when your villain gets, you know, a redemption of some kind, and he goes and fights with Staiu against cram school. That battle against the cram school, is he like the cult leader? I guess he's a cult leader, and that's a great fight. It's got great rules going on, which is important in a shonen fight, is that you need to have rules for your fight. It can't just be two people with power levels. Like, you need to be able to it's like the Naruto formula of, like, you have to dissect what the opponent's doing and, like, how are we going to get around their abilities, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's good stuff. It's good stuff. Also, good body horror in that, when Style gets his skin ripped off, which is fucking horrifying. But then that's when you know, like, okay, well, there's something else going on here, because they're not going to rip this guy's skin off on screen if it's for real. Yeah, Toma. So we haven't actually talked about Index much.
So Misaka starts out cool, and Index starts out a reasonable person.
Yes.
She starts out kind of normal. You know, she's got some quirks. She's hungry. She's magic. She's a nun. Some say sister, but sister is just Japanese for nun. Come on, guys. She kind of just becomes annoying little girl around when their plot's kind of done with her.
Yeah, I really like when she channels religion in like very petty ways, right, where she's like, I swear upon the beautiful Lord above that I'm not seeking anything in the house. It's just she's carrying a cat around with her. You know what I mean? Like, just very petty use of her. You know, being a nun is great, and that's entertaining. But ultimately, she doesn't do anything.
She's hungry.
She's hungry. She got a lot of books.
Girl's hungry.
She's got a lot of books in her head.
Yeah.
And people are like, people really like her, and that's like the thing is that because like the cram school the cram school cult leader was like one of her handlers basically he was her partner for three years ago and then like it drives people to do crazy things like become villains in her life in the case of Style and that other girl, or you know, like concoct crazy vampire conspiracies to make her live forever, you know what I mean? And like that's neat, but she's almost a MacGuffin. In that she,
oh, sure.
Because she doesn't do, like, when is her power amounted to anything except for the time that she was healed by the sensei? So far, nothing. But I guess that she's literally a MacGuffin.
She doesn't, I mean, it's not really a power. It's just she's got a bunch of books.
But it's a MacGuffin.
Yes.
Which is fine, because the rest of it's good, so.
I don't know. I forget if that comes up anymore.
But again, moments of, like, interesting writing in like challenging and fascinating ideas of like Mikasa's clones and like how they're introduced as a character and then like revealed to be thousands and thousands of clones.
Yep.
That's just great. That's just good storytelling. Like that's I'm riveted. You know what I mean? Like that's, I find that super compelling. And like, why would the clones speak about themselves in third person? Fucking whatever. Like,
I don't know.
I'll accept it. It's she's weird. And that gives you a hint enough that something else is going on. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And that works great.
There's other weird shit in this show. So he's got the lolly teacher, who's a little girl, but she's 30.
Not explained.
Beer Fuck and that. Cigarettes. Well, she's small. That's not explaining. What doesn't get explained is that at one point, the index is in like recovery mode because she's like a computer uh-huh. for whatever reason. She asks her for the time, and she doesn't have a clock, but she just happens to have a perfect second accurate internal mm-hmm. clock.
Yeah,
for no reason.
Weird show.
Like, well, you didn't want to have a clock in the show? Like, why?
Just strange. Why? Just strange.
Oh, it's the fucking most bizarre shit.
This doesn't exist in other mediums. This is literally an anime-exclusive level of strangeness. Of like, just, there, no other medium could handle just...
If there was that level of granularity in a Western show, it would just be like the most... It would just be considered like the most over-explaining nerd shit.
Yeah.
Just like totally unpalatable that's nonsense.
Like, that's like a Star Trek episode.
Lore garbage, yeah.
You know, and it literally can only work in anime. And this is something we discuss. Is like, I'm like, Index is why you watch anime. And because it tickles something inside of you that you can't explain because it's like a perfect equal parts of stupid and beautiful. And it's... it reminds me of like the anime that I've enjoyed the most of my life. You know, it's not high art, but it's fucking really entertaining television.
JC staff did the whole 2000s of anime. They did this, they did Shauna, they did Familiar of Zero. It's just a bunch of little feisty girls and trance pop. What was going on with the trans pop, oh, by the
so,
way?
That's so refreshing, because like shows will beat around the bush and do like they won't go full dance music. This is full dance music, baby. We're like, when we're in fight sequences, it's just like
and the opening is use that lady and her music for like every, she's done every season of Shauna. She did Index, both seasons of Index, I think.
They know what they like, man.
They just love that lady's trancy aughts vibe.
Yeah.
And I hope they keep with it. We're not in that decade anymore. Season 2 was 2010. That's oh no. Please.
Well,
it could be all right. It'd be okay. What else happens? I don't know. There's one episode where Toma runs full sprint across a Japanese apartment room for like 90 seconds.
This show really flies by the way. Like it's zippy. Like you
just keep going.
12 episodes, that goes quickly.
It's watchable.
Yeah. And you just immediately click into the next episode in a way that you don't with other things. It's serious candy.
Yeah. The thing people always say about this show though is that when Toma's on screen, you just want that Misaka. And when Misaka's on screen, you just want to see the Toe Man. And that's basically true. They need to just...
There hasn't been a ton of that so far, though.
You need to just be... You just got to put them together. Which they do sometimes. But mm-hmm. It's not enough.
I need more style.
Yeah.
he's an example of equal parts cool and dumb.
He never takes a drag from that cigarette. It's always there, but I've never seen him actually inhale.
I'm going to go pee really quick. Meeting my channel go.
Okay.
I drank a lot. I'm trying to think about other things that happen. Oh, we gotta talk about how there's three scenes in an episode, basically.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's. I guess most shows. Yeah, it's probably to its benefit that like, yeah, every episode's like three. Or max like four scenes, like probably like 5-6 minute scenes, and sometimes almost nothing happens in an episode, but it still feels like you watched something. He's peeing.
Correct.
He says I'm right.
Well, it's like
you're still off.
It's like there. You'll find yourself in the middle of a scene and be like, how fucking long has the scene been going on for? People will be talking on a bridge and like they'll be doing exposition about like backstory or like what, like,
and then concepts. they'll kind of explain it twice.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
There's like some redundancy built in just in case you miss a line, you know, in case you're eating popcorn, drinking something.
Well, there've definitely been times where I'm like, holy shit. Like, so there's just been so much shit shoved into my brain that I couldn't have possibly picked up on all this. And things will get reinforced later as like, okay, well, they've explained all this and now we're finally experiencing it for real. And then, you know, that's part of the redundancy is like, okay, they explain it twice and then you experience it once. You're like, okay, that concept makes sense, but you fucking really took your time getting there. But, you know, people will be about to fight or like talking after a fight for 6 minutes at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
And it'll just be cutting to different camera angles and Toma is trying to redeem them. You know what I mean?
Oh, he's got to tell them exactly what they're doing wrong.
Notes. I got notes. I got
Every time he's about to punch them in the face, he's got some explaining to do first.
Gotta find my notes.
There's a lady with a sword.
You're your life wrong.
Yes, you're not living your life correctly. I've been wondering for years. I remembered watching a show where the subtitles used the phrase "pedo body."
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
And I couldn't remember. I was like, "What fucking show was that?" I was just thinking about it like the other day, and I watched this. And I'm like, "Oh yeah, it was this one." It makes sense if you think about it, but it's very counterintuitive.
A lot of this stuff happens in really mundane places. Like when Style and Homegirl are coming to snatch Index at the beginning of the show, they're literally just showing up at Toma's apartment to take her.
That's like, the teacher's apartment, I think, right?
Or the teacher's apartment, but it's still an apartment.
Yeah, it's just little one room. Yeah, there's an entire episode that takes place on his apartment balcony.
You know, like, and it's, again, this is part of like, Academy City not being explained at all is like you'll be in like a bridge.
There to explain?
Yeah, but
there's pans of the skyline. You see what's up. There's robots
like a bit
rolling
like,
around.
But it's like this isn't a bad thing. It just makes the world seem really small. Like it's just, okay. It's just like the I still feel like we haven't really touched anything yet, except for the part where that building almost got.
Yeah, most of it happens in Academy City. I think there's a little bit of more globetrotting in season two. But for the most part, season one, you're just in the Academy.
We've been to the hospital like 3 times.
He goes to the hospital a lot. You're gonna be in the warehouse. What's a yard with a bunch of shipping containers in it? I don't know what you call that. A shipyard.
Yeah, shipyard. Know, yeah.
There's the bridge. And that's there's
Toma's apartment.
You're on a rooftop somewhere. I think at one point they go underground. That might be season two.
Yeah,
there's but like an underground
they're all
mall.
The same places, and they like all these grand conspiracy things that happen are contained in these super mundane places in a way that is pretty funny. Like it just makes it more comical inherently to me.
I feel you. Yeah. spans a lot of subjects, and it's still a very small amount of characters.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, and they're all really young, so it's, I never feel like it's like the church, it's the Vatican. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm wondering about. Like, everyone's like fucking crazy, but fucking World War III arc. Is it just going to be like World War III is going on outside?
Exactly.
Nothing's going on. It's just
and Toma remains an everyman in a way. Like
can't change him.
He's still broke. Like you know, like
oh, always.
He doesn't have change. Like his there's a scene where that literally starts with his dollar bill getting stolen by a vending machine, which is the most everyman thing that can happen to somebody.
That's an iconic scene where Misaka kicks it.
It's excellent.
That's classic.
That's a banner, baby. Like
oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a really great scene. It's a good introduction to her powers being used in a petty way and like just over something so simple. It's It's a wholesome show. It's
blasphemous. It's fucking.
They got pedo bodies.
People lusting. Oh, we haven't even talked about his friend with the abs and the Hawaiian shirt.
Horrible friends.
Oh, but the shirt though, the abs.
I like his friend's sister, who's introduced for one scene that will probably be a player at some point. But she shows up on a big old tall Roomba. And she's great. I don't know what her fucking deal is.
But I don't know. I don't know if she does anything. I think she just shows up sometimes. That's nice.
That's good.
Yeah,
it is. She's fun, good. Man. His friends are horrible.
Oh, he's got the sunglasses and he's got abs. It's so good. It's great.
This is family entertainment at its finest. You still haven't seen that video yet, but it'll make sense once you do. I'm referencing a video.
Oh, okay.
This is family entertainment. Family entertainment.
That's what every time someone got decapitated in Twilight last night, we would shout TV PG, because on MTV apparently they think that's PG when people are just getting their heads ripped off.
Jersey Shores. They are Jersey Shore. Their barometer is a bit skewed.
Is Jersey Shore on MTV?
That was an MTV original.
That wasn't VHS.
VH1.
VH1.
No, that was MTV. And that's the MTV. They're also doing Floribama Shore.
So. Of course. Yeah, they copyrighted the word Shore, so it's only them from now on.
All right. It's not Shore thing.
I just made that up. Hey! Oh! Ho ho!
Boo!
Oh! Is that all we got to say about Index? The first quarter of Index?
I feel like we've talked about Index, baby.
All right.
It's good. Watch it, please.
I want to be Toma.
I want to be Mikasa.
Wait, ew.
What's her nickname?
Bitty Bitty?
What does that mean? Beedy Beedy?
It's onomatopoeia for electrical
Beedy Beedy?
Like shocks.
That's good. That's a good nickname.
Yeah.
Yeah. In English, they call her...
Sparky?
No. They call her...
Sparky Dan the Electric Man?
Oh, fuck.
Right.
Electrical Fly Swatter Girl or something?
Yeah. I remember that. I remember that years ago. People were pissed about that because they made it awful.
Yeah, he calls her that all the time. And, like, the show's been generally good about, or the dub has been generally good about, like, translating ways and the things that are... Because you'll know, like, when you're watching a dub, things that just, they couldn't translate well, so they didn't bother. It'll be a really stretch of a translation. That's the only one that really stuck out to me is kind of poor.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, they can't get a cultural thing across, so they'll change it.
Bug Zapper. He calls her Bug Zapper.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But there was a... Beedy Beedy is way better.
If you gotta do English, just call her, like, Sparkly.
Mrs. Zap Girl.
Zappy Zap. Zappy Zap's good.
Zip Zip Zap.
Zip Zap.
Boop Bop. Zippity Bop. Zips.
It's into Bill Cosby when he sees her.
She's sleeping now. Bip Bappity Zoop Boop. Ah! I'm going in. Imagine Breaker, beep bop. a certain magical cause. The cause man. It would work, but anyways,
it writes itself.
There's more to talk about. We got to plunge at least. We're not at an hour yet, and we've set a precedent. Everything needs to be fucking an hour to 45 minutes long.
Oh, no.
So,
I think it's solid hour is...
We're approaching it, but...
Okay.
Bitty bitty. So there was a point where I was watching the dub with the subs on just to see, like, well, how far off is this? Because I was just interested at that point. And they had referenced Oda Nobunaga... It wasn't actually Oda Nobunaga. It was the other one.
I don't know.
The other one. But they changed it to Nelson Mandela in the dub. But then they Schrödinger, they use Schrödinger in the dub and the sub. So take of that what you will. Anyways, they adopt a cat. And the Mikasa clone names a dog, which is funny. You're right, Mikasa clone with no sense of humor. That is funny. That's a good character. I can't wait to see more of her. Oh no.
Sorry, I didn't mean to give that one away. Yeah, the show gets, it looks better over time. Because, you know, this is a 2008 show. It's not Not huge yet.
I can't wait to fucking see Accelerator. Holy fuck. I'm so ready.
Accelerator's fuck. Fun. Accelerator's very fun.
Every time he's on screen, I'm like, oh shit, that's going to be fucking awesome.
He's basically the best.
I'm so fucking ready.
He's all over the place and it's all good.
He's going to be so hype. Oh. Yeah. Fuck. Pure mayhem.
Oh, pure yeah. Mayhem. I won't call it an arc, but he goes places. And it's ridiculous.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm fucking in. We got to watch a lot of this. So I knew it was going to be okay, but I'm very happy with how much I'm enjoying it. It's good television.
Yep.
There's a lot more to come. Stay tuned.
Yeah. And I'm not going to rewatch Railgun, but if you want to, you've never seen it, you can go right ahead with that. If you got withdrawals.
Is it a drastically different show?
It's just not as good because it's like a lot of its original. Yeah. Although he wrote some of it, so I don't know. What happens in that first show? There's the iDoser stuff, and then that's the only part I remember.
I feel like I'm watching iconic stuff that I've been aware of to some degree for a while. Yeah. It's like when you watch a classic film that you might be exaggerating a bit in the comparison, but it's like when you watch something that is a piece of like the public consciousness and like you've absorbed a lot of it through osmosis, like yeah. Twilight. And
of course,
you know, you're seeing all these things that like are iconic in their own way and you're like, oh my God, it's that guy. I'm sweet. I've heard great things. You know what I mean? Like when Accelerator comes on and I get contact hype because I've heard people talk about how hype he is for so long. And then he's pretty bitching for like the first couple times you see him.
Have they explained his power yet?
Not. He explained it very briefly.
It's fucking, he's just God because they say he can control vectors and a vector is just anything that's like, has a direction.
Mm-hmm.
So he can just control everything.
It's sweet.
Like, there's no rules.
I can't wait for Toma to stop that with his right hand. That stops the anti-cool.
He punches him.
Yeah, it's gonna be. I'm sure that'll be a really good punch. But yeah. We explained earlier his power is the anti-cool.
yeah, and every power is the anti-cool, but this one's actually a cool anti-cool.
Yeah, it's
he is zero.
He literally stops other people's powers from being cool.
They actually use it in good ways, and it makes a great sound, and it's his hand.
Yeah, he outsmarts Style by pulling a fire alarm, which probably would have gone off already if there was a fire.
That's also a bit of weird logic, which, yeah, it should have gone off before, and like, he's like, haha, I knew the ink would wash off this paper. What? What kind of paper are you using?
Well, he's using Japanese rice paper, man. That shit's fucking leaky.
Is that
leaky.
How it works?
Shit's leaky.
He said it was like copy paper.
I don't know.
There was a line.
Maybe your version.
All these characters are just dorks. After they stop, after the Toe Man tames yeah. him, Style starts out very, very scary, and he's a dork.
Yep.
And Sword Lady is pretty docile after hits him in the stomach a few times. Misaka and Index.
Yeah, Index is she's a mystical woman.
Maybe she gets more hostile, but you know, in a harmless way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yep.
I don't know.
I didn't explain my Sam Flam comparison.
As a great finale, please okay. enlighten me as to why this is anything like Samurai Flamenco.
Samurai Flamenco will have huge paradigm shifts at certain points in the show between arcs.
Okay.
And the thing that immediately struck me is nonsensical and outlandish in a way that it is in Sam Flam, or the way that those transitions are. Because Sam Flam starts as he's on the streets, you know, he's a street level crime fighter. And then there's a point where somebody gets their fucking body chopped in half by Gorilla Guillotine, and then it becomes like a for real Sentai show. And then the transition for me was when Toma was an everyman in the truest sense, and then he gets his memory wiped, and now he only exists inside this crazy world, which is a paradigm shift to me. Which is something I noticed. I don't know. You said you didn't notice it to the same degree I did, but there was a definite change of character to where the Toma we knew is gone. He is a different person now because he had his entire history wiped. So he literally only knows this new crazy existence. But I might be overthinking it.
That's not even the same. A lot of stories have things where things change.
We'll see. we'll see. I know you've seen all this, but I'm pretty sure that we might end up in space. But Basically, no. I'm just going to, every opportunity I have to sneak Sam Flam in, I'm going to do it because I want people to continue to watch it.
Continue to watch Sam Flam.
Yeah, promoting it till the end of time.
Watch episode 198 of Sam Flam.
Reppin'
this Wednesday.
Reppin' Sam Flam.
It's not good.
It's one of my favorite shows. It's excellent.
Confounding.
Yes, it is confounding.
No, it's confounding that you like it.
It's how could you not? It has heart. Show's got heart.
It's got
bromance.
That part's true.
It's got sentais.
That's not. Yeah,
it's got
not
fashion.
No,
he's not a model.
Yeah, like a little bit.
It's got a boy who's he dreams big and achieves it.
The show bankrupted Manglobe.
As the, you know what? If there's something to go out on, I support that being the one to go out on.
No, they didn't go out on it, sacrifice, but it didn't help.
Sacrifice for
it was,
Sam
Flam. It was Gangsta that got him.
Ready for Sam Flam season 2. Did Gangsta end up being good? I remember liking the first episode of that.
I haven't finished it yet.
The first episode looked good.
It's probably pretty mediocre.
Okay,
I've only seen 4 episodes.
That's Index.
We talked about Index.
First 12.
Baby.
Stay tuned for more hot takes.
In a while.
Toma, toma, toma.